we can turn any idea into a belief if we just provide enough reference experiences to support it. Which one of these statements is true, for example? People are basically honest and decent. If you give them half a chance, they want to help you. Or people are dishonest. They only look out for themselves and they'll rip you off if you give them half a chance. Well, you might say they're both true, but what's really true is what you're certain about, what you have developed as a belief. If you wanted to, don't you have enough experiences, enough what we call references to back up the belief that people are basically rotten? Haven't you read enough about it, heard enough about it, or experienced enough to back that belief up? Put legs underneath that table of certainty, if you will? If you focused on other experiences, couldn't you just as easily remember experiences that would make you feel certain that people are honest, that they're caring, that they'll go out of the way to help you if you care about them? Which one of these beliefs is really true? Whichever belief you construct to be true within yourself. Remember, we can always find a way to back up any belief, so choose your beliefs well. While an unshakable sense of certainty can help you accomplish great things, it also has the potential to blind you to the very information that could change your life forever. Have you ever met someone who, out of their need to stay certain, wouldn't listen to a new idea? If you were to take a look at your own beliefs through someone else's eyes, what might you see? Beliefs drive all of our behaviors. While some affect only one aspect of our lives, others are much more pervasive. For example, a specific belief like John is dishonest would certainly influence your interactions with John. But believing people are dishonest would have ramifications far beyond this single relationship. I call these types of beliefs global beliefs. Global beliefs like this one are usually based on some generalization made a long time ago under certain extreme circumstances. We may have completely forgotten the original circumstance in which the belief came up, and yet unconsciously we still allow it to guide our decision making. The effect these beliefs can have on our lives is unlimited, but this does not have to be negative. A change in one global belief can change every aspect of your life for the better. Are some beliefs more powerful than others? Absolutely. There are three different levels of certainty. One we call opinions, the second one we call beliefs, and the third we call convictions. Opinions can be shifted easily, as they're based on transitory perceptions. Beliefs, however, are much stronger because they're usually based on an experience someone has actually had or one they have a lot of emotion attached to, although it can be based on other things they've heard from other people. It is possible to destabilize this person's certainty by getting them to question what they used to believe and inducing a bit of doubt. A conviction, on the other hand, is incredibly intense and very difficult to change because it's usually buttressed by such high emotional intensity that the person holding it not only feels certain about this, but they can actually become enraged or blinded to any rational discussion if that conviction is ever questioned by another person. Convictions can be incredibly empowering or unbelievably destructive. Which of your beliefs are opinions? Which do you feel more strongly about you would call beliefs? And do any of these fall on the level you call conviction? Because of the passion they inspire within us, convictions propel us to action. Someone who cares deeply about the rights of animals has a belief, but someone who spends spare time passionately educating the public about such issues as laboratory testing and the consequences of eating a meat-based diet, they clearly have a conviction. Are there areas of your life in which holding a conviction would give you the added drive to push through all kinds of obstacles? For example, can you see how having a conviction that you will never let yourself become overweight again would compel you the minute you start to get overweight to immediately make changes in your lifestyle? Do you realize how a conviction like I can always find a way to turn things around could help you steer through the toughest of times? What's a conviction that if you adopted it now, it would give you true personal power for your life? All personal breakthroughs begin with a change in beliefs. How do you replace a limiting belief? Well, the most effective way is to destabilize your old belief. In other words, to shake your certainty by inducing doubt, by beginning to question that old belief. So you need to remember that your brain is always trying to move you away from pain. So think about all the negative consequences that this belief has caused. Ask yourself, as I consider it, what's actually silly, stupid, or ridiculous about this belief? And really make yourself answer that question. Or ask, what has this belief already cost me in my life? How has it limited me in the past? And I'm not willing to let this happen anymore. Or thirdly, ask, what could it cost me in the future if I don't change this belief right now? Answering these types of questions could help you associate painful feelings to this old, undesired belief and provide you with the leverage and the opportunity to replace it with a new, empowering belief. The power of expectation in enhancing performance is well documented, and it's been called the Pygmalion effect. In one study, teachers were told that certain students in their classes were gifted and needed to be constantly challenged in order to excel. The teachers, of course, complied, and not surprisingly, these same students became top achievers. However, unbeknownst to them all, the students that had been identified as gifted hadn't actually demonstrated higher intelligence prior to the study. Some, in fact, had previously been labeled poor students. What made the difference? The newfound sense of certainty that they were superior was instilled by a teacher's, quote, false belief about them. Can you see the importance of your beliefs about yourself and about other people? What could you accomplish if only you had the faith to tap your vast potential, or if you had greater faith in those around you or in your children, for that matter? Part 4, Questions Are the Answer. Questions are the laser of human consciousness. You can use their power to cut through any obstacle or any challenge. A well-placed question can change any aspect of your life literally in a moment. What's the primary difference between people who are successful and those who aren't? Quite simply, successful people are those who have asked better questions, and as a result, they've gotten better answers. When the automobile was in its infancy, hundreds of people tinkered with building them, but Henry Ford stood apart by asking, "How can I mass produce such a machine?" Millions in Eastern Europe chafed under the iron yoke of communism, but Lech Walesa had the courage to ask, "How can I raise the standard of living for all working men and women? What could I do today to make something happen?" If you were to let your imagination run wild, where might your questions really lead you? What is really possible for your life? Kids are the all-time champions of questioning. What could you gain by imitating the innocence and the curiosity of children who are completely determined to get an answer once they ask a question? Quality questions create a quality life. Businesses succeed when their decision makers ask the right questions about product lines or markets or strategic planning. Relationships tend to flourish when people ask the right questions about where potential conflicts exist and how to support each other rather than how to tear each other down. Communities benefit when leaders ask the right questions about what's most important and how can citizens work together towards shared goals. For whatever area of your life you want to improve, there are questions you can ask that'll provide you with the answers, the solutions that can catapult you and those you love to a higher level of success and enjoyment than you ever dreamed of. Do you need to ask questions about quality, about commitment, about contribution? There is no question that the capacity of our brains is phenomenal. In fact, it would take two buildings the size of the World Trade Centers just to house the storage capacity of your brain using today's technology. Yet without an understanding of how to retrieve and use all that's been stored, this potential power is useless. What enables you to get anything you want from your personal data banks, from that incredible brain, is the commanding power of asking effective questions. Often our failure to utilize our experiences is not a memory failure as much as it is a failure to ask the questions that would tap into our true abilities. The questions you ask yourself consistently will create either enervation or enjoyment, indignation or inspiration, misery or magic. So you want to ask yourself questions that will uplift your spirit and push you along the path of human excellence. If you've repeatedly tried and, let's say, failed to lose weight, could it be that you're asking yourself the wrong questions? Questions like, what will fill me up, or what's the sweetest, richest food I can get away with today? What if you were to ask instead, what will really nourish me? What light, delicious dish could I eat that would give me some energy right now? Will this cleanse me if I eat this, or will this clog me? And if you're tempted to binge, if I eat this, what will I have to give up in order to still achieve my goals? Is it worth it? What's the ultimate price I'll pay if I can and will profoundly change the quality of your life? Questions immediately change what we're focusing on and therefore how we feel. Don't you have treasured moments in your life that if you focused on them again, you'd immediately feel wonderful right now? Perhaps it was a day when you moved out on your own, the birth of your first child, or a conversation with a friend that really helped you or touched you or gave you confidence to really shoot for the stars. Questions such as, what am I grateful for, or what could I be grateful for right now? What's wonderful in my life right now? If we really think about these and really entertain these questions, they can guide us to remembering these moments, allowing us not only to feel good about our lives, but also to contribute more to those around us. There's a big difference between an affirmation and a question. See, you can repeat affirmations like, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, all day long. But it's not going to produce the same sense of certainty as consistently asking an empowering question like, what am I happy about right now? Or what could I be happy about now if I really wanted to be? And how does that make me feel? Rather than merely pumping yourself up, questions direct your focus and get you to come up with some real and compelling reasons to feel this emotion. Thus, instead of just stating a mere affirmation, you'll experience an actual emotional state change. That's something that's real and that can last. How can you immediately improve your life? By discovering and modeling the habitual questions of people you respect. See, if you find someone who's extremely happy, I can guarantee you there's a reason. And that reason is this person focuses relentlessly on what makes them happy, and they continually ask questions about how to be even happier. People who do well financially ask different questions as they look at an investment than people who produce meager rewards. So a new level of success in any area of your life is as close as a new question, a question you can model from someone who's already experienced that which you desire. Remember, ask and you shall receive. One of the main ingredients of success is the openness to receive answers. See, back when Walt Disney was creating his Magic Kingdom, he had a unique way of requesting input. He'd designate an entire wall to display all the stages of a project, and everyone in the organization was invited to post their answers to the question, how can we improve this? Thus, Disney gained access to the combined resources of a creative army, producing results that were commensurate with that level of quality input. See, you don't have to be at the helm of a leading organization to benefit from this tool. How could you cast your focus in new directions? What people do you interact with daily that could provide you with a wealth of resources if you only asked? The answers we receive depend upon the questions we're willing to ask. See, it's all a matter of discovering the particular question that'll help you access a more resourceful state of mind and emotion. For example, if learning and progress are important to you, then a question such as, how can I use this situation to do even better in the future, will be most effective in breaking any negative emotional pattern because you want to grow so much. With especially difficult upsets, you might have to ask, 10 years from now, will this really even matter? This often will break your pattern. To deal with relationship upsets, ask questions such as, what else could be affecting this person right now, and how could I help them? This is a quick way to resolve your differences and begin to express your compassion. A simple question that can make a huge difference was suggested to me by Leo Biscaglia. Many people know him as the Love Doctor. You see, when Leo was young, his father asked him every night, "Leo, what have you learned today?" Leo knew he better have an answer, and a good one. In fact, if he hadn't learned anything really interesting in school that day, he'd scurry for the encyclopedia. Decades later, Leo still won't go to bed until he's learned something new and valuable for the day. How could your life or your children's lives be immeasurably enhanced by adding this question or one like it to your daily routine? You see, all day long you're asking questions. Why not ask a better one? In what ways could you make this process as fundamental as eating or sleeping? At some point, you must stop asking questions and start taking action. Questions such as, what is my life really about? What am I most committed to? Why am I here? Are incredibly powerful. But if you agonize over getting the perfect answer to these questions, you're not going to get very far. Often, you have to just make a decision to go with a first gut-level response. This response to your question is usually the one you should trust and act upon. So in order to produce results, simply decide what's most important to you, at least in this moment, and use your personal power to follow through and begin transforming the quality of your life by acting upon the answers to these great questions. Part 5, Get the Knack of Change. I've always prided myself on my ability to produce lasting changes in almost anyone, but I had a rude awakening one day when a man I'd helped years before to quit smoking approached me. He pulled out a cigarette pack from his pocket and said, "You failed." "What do you mean?" I asked him, curious to really know what had actually happened. He said, "Well, after our session, I didn't smoke for 2.5 years. But then one day I got stressed and I lit up, and I've been smoking ever since. It's all your fault. You didn't program me properly," he said. Well, although his communication was less than elegant, this man gave me an incredible gift. He reminded me that we must take personal responsibility for our change, or it's worthless. No one can, quote, program you. You must condition yourself for change. Any change we make will be only temporary unless we make ourselves and no one else responsible for our lasting change. Specifically, we must adopt 3 core beliefs for lasting change. They are, 1, it must change. Believing that we should change something is not enough. 2, I must change it. Others may coach me, but I'm ultimately responsible. And 3, I can change it. Since I created what I'm currently experiencing, then I can change whatever I'm experiencing. What really makes change happen? Nothing changes until we change the sensations that we link to an experience in our nervous system. For example, as long as cigarettes give you a feeling of pleasure, you're going to be drawn to them. It's only when you associate cigarettes with disgust, ashtray mouth, and death that lasting change tends to occur. Though we'd like to deny it, what usually drives our behavior is gut-level reactions, not intellectual calculation. You see, you may understand that chocolate is unhealthy, yet do you still eat it? Why? Because you're not driven so much by what you intellectually know, but instead by what you've learned to link pain and pleasure to in your nervous system. It's our neuroassociations, that is, the associations we've established in our nervous system, that determine what we'll actually do. Why don't most attempts at breaking a habit work? Because we address the symptom of the problem by dieting or going cold turkey or cutting up their credit cards. But if we don't eliminate its cause, it's going to resurface. The technology I've developed is called neuroassociative conditioning, or NAC, the knack of change. It's a simple yet powerful 6-step strategy for producing lasting changes. And the 6 steps are, 1, state clearly what you really want. Most people focus on what they don't want, and that's what they actually achieve. Number two, get leverage on yourself. Make change a must. Step three, interrupt your old limiting pattern. Break the habit's hold on you. Number four, create a new empowering alternative to your old pattern. You can't stop a behavior or stop an emotion. You've got to replace it. Number five, condition it. Reinforce this new pattern until it becomes a positive habit. And finally, six, test it. Make sure it actually works in the situations where your old habits used to come up. Next, step number one, decide what you really want and determine what's preventing you from having it right now. Remember that we get whatever we focus on. So rather than dwelling on what you don't want, clearly articulate what you do want. For example, instead of making your goal to stop smoking, decide what you want to do to be more healthy, vibrant, alive than ever before in your life. The more specific you are, the more power you'll have to rapidly achieve what you want. Once you've decided what you want, identify any obstacles you may face, such as the anticipated pain that might occur as a result of changing. What do you really desire, and what's preventing you from having it now? Next step number two, get leverage. Associate massive pain to not changing now and immense pleasure to immediately making this change. Ask yourself, what will this behavior or emotion cost me if I don't change it? What will I miss out in my life if I don't make this shift now? What is the old behavior already costing me mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and spiritually? How does this negatively affect my career or loved ones? Then vividly imagine and experience the pleasurable effects of making this change now. Ask yourself, when I do change, how will that make me feel about myself? What kind of momentum will I create by making this change? How will my family and friends feel? Will they be proud of me? How happy will I be? Don't I deserve these benefits right now? Next step number three, interrupt the limiting pattern. Have you ever seen a fly trapped in a room, desperately seeking an exit? It smacks itself repeatedly against the nearest window over and over again. Have you ever noticed people doing something a lot like this? They may have plenty of motivation, but if they keep doing what doesn't work, they're never going to achieve their goal. It's like the spouse or parent who constantly nags, yet to no avail, or even to contrary results. Interrupt any limiting pattern you find by doing something unexpected immediately. If, for example, you nag, catch yourself mid-sentence, drop to your knees, and flash a smile. And then walk over and hug them, and then tell them how much you love them. What are some fun and playful ways you could interrupt some limiting pattern in your life? To create a new pattern of either thinking, feeling, or behaving, you must first interrupt the old pattern. To visualize this, think of a compact disc. Why does it play the same music every time? Because there's an invisible pattern cut into it. Just as it's futile to insert a new CD while another one is still playing, it's a waste of your time to try and establish a new behavior or a new emotional pattern when an old pattern is still entrenched. Instead, the minute you indulge in this pattern, interrupt it with as many crazy, bizarre, and fun things as you can think of. It's like hearing a song on a CD that you don't want to listen to again. How could you handle this? Break its pattern, eject the disc, and vigorously scratch its surface until you're certain it'll never be able to play the same song again. The same process can be done with any pattern within yourself. The reason it's often difficult to change a pattern, whether it be an emotional pattern or a behavioral one, is that it's literally wired into you. One researcher proved this by moving a monkey's finger back and forth and monitoring the resulting connections between nerve cells in the brain as these movements were occurring. With repeated movement, he noted that the thread of connection strengthened, and after moving the animal's finger hundreds of times, they bound together into an irresistible pathway. Now, quote, wired for this behavior, the monkey continued to flex his fingers of his own accord even after the conditioning stopped. Many of us, through overuse, have literally trained ourselves to fly off the handle or to worry ourselves sick or to feel insecure or to abuse alcohol or food. What positive reflexes could you strengthen through repetition in your body and in your emotions? Next step, number 4, create a new empowering alternative. A study of reformed drug abusers found there were different relapse rates for different individuals. Those who were forced externally to give up their drug abuse usually resumed it immediately upon being released from jail. Those who were internally motivated to quit managed to abstain for an average of 2 years. Yet those who replaced their addictions with a new alternative, such as focusing on religion or developing a new work skill, generally went a minimum of 8 years or more without backsliding, and the majority of these people never abused drugs again. Most people's attempts at change are only temporary because they fail to find an alternative way of getting out of pain and into pleasure. Old patterns must be replaced, not just eliminated. So as you look at your own patterns, what's a new alternative that could make you feel good that would be different than what you've done in the past? Next step, number 5, condition the new pattern until it is consistent. Do you remember the monkey, which through consistent use of its finger literally created a neural connection, that's a nerve connection in the brain, that drove it to continually flex the finger in the future? Well, researchers have proved that if they emotionally excited that animal while training it, the neural connections were strengthened and intensified with fewer repetitions. In other words, if you want to establish a new emotional pattern or a new behavior, then while you're imagining it, you want to put yourself in a peak emotional state. If you do this with music or visualization or excitement, you'll find you can establish a new pattern in a matter of minutes instead of a matter of months, weeks, or years. And remember, as soon as you start to do a new pattern of behavior, you want to immediately reward yourself or someone you're trying to help whenever you use that pattern in the future. A pattern of thinking, feeling, or behaving that is consistently reinforced will eventually become a positive habit. Next step, number 6, test it. Use the following to double check that you've taken each of the 5 preceding steps correctly. Number 1, make certain that when you think of your old pattern of feeling or behaving, that you immediately associate intense pain to it. For example, if you smoked before, make sure now you don't like the thought of smoking at all. It doesn't feel good to you. Number 2, be sure that pleasure is fully associated to your new pattern. When you think of your new behavior or the new feeling, do you feel pleasure instead of pain? Number 3, make certain that this new behavior is consistent with how you want to live your life. Is it aligned with your goals, your beliefs, your life's philosophy? Number 4, make sure the benefits of the old pattern have been maintained. For example, if you used to smoke in order to calm yourself or reduce stress, do you have a new alternative way of accomplishing these things that allows you to reduce your stress and feel relaxed immediately? Will the new behavior or feeling still allow you to get the feelings of pleasure that you used to get from the old pattern? And finally, 5, imagine yourself behaving in this new way in the future. In other words, picture something that would have triggered you to indulge in your old behavior and make certain that you automatically now feel like doing the new behavior instead of the old one. This will show you that the new pattern really works.